Hello and welcome to another Care Home Management Magazine podcast. I'm Alan Rustad, formerly the publisher of Care Home Management, and I'm sitting in today for your regular host, Managing Editor Steve Hemsley. Today we discuss a topic never far from the top of the agenda in care homes, and that is something that has never been more important than in the last couple of years: infection control. As usual, this podcast is being sponsored by care home marketing experts Smooth Digital, helping to fill care and nursing home beds with private paying residents. I'm delighted to welcome four contributors to our roundtable today who can give us some further insights into the latest trends in infection control from their various specialities and the importance this must have for care home operators and residents. So joining me today are Paul Anderson, who's the Managing Director at Myco, Kevin Morris, who's the GB Managing Director at Ultrafilter, Christian Hendrickson, the co-founder and CRO of Rensare, and Debbie Jones, who's Sales Manager at Washco. Well, thank you all for joining us. Just before we get fully underway, we'd like to give our listeners a little bit more information about the four of you. So perhaps in about 30 seconds or so, you can introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit more about your companies. So, Paul, at Myco, would you like to lead us off, please?
Yeah, thank you, Alan. My name is Paul Anderson. I'm Managing Director of a company called Myco, M-E-I-K-O, founded by two people back in 1927 of Myers and Conrad, hence Myco. Worldwide company, we specialize in clean solutions, that's dishwashing, glass washing, through to KD machines, which is bedpan washing, pot washing, food waste management, everything to do with hygienic cleanliness of items. And that's what we do. And I lead, I'm very proud to lead the UK team.
Great, that's good to hear. And how about you, Kevin, at Ultrafilter?
Yeah, good afternoon, Alan. Kevin Morris, Managing Director of Ultrafilter Great Britain, part of the Ultrafilter Worldwide Group, specialist in industrial filtration, but more recently, the introduction of Ultrafilter Medical to the group, manufacturing type 2R face masks here in Hereford, in Ross-on-Wye, and also in Germany, supporting NHS and other institutes with the supply of type 2R face masks.
Great. Debbie, how about you at Washco?
Hi, I'm Debbie Jones. I am the sales manager at Washco. Washco supply laundry equipment. We supply and service nationwide throughout the UK, mainly into the care sector, but we also do other sectors as well. And we specialise, obviously, in service and service packages to suit the care environment.
Great. And last but certainly not least, Christian at Rensare.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm Christian Hendrickson, co-founder and CEO at Rensare. We are originally from Scandinavia, where we've been working with hospitals for the past two decades on infection prevention solutions and improving air quality in hospitals. But through that, we've also worked extensively with the care home sector and beyond. And our solutions are specifically developed to be portable and go into different types of clinical environments. But obviously, with the pandemic, we've seen much broader demand for these types of solutions.
That's great. Well, thank you very much indeed, Christian. I think, obviously, over the last 2 years, we've learned an awful lot about life and particularly in your specialities of just what is involved as far as care homes are concerned. So let's kick off our discussion with Kevin at Ultrafilter, if we may. Kevin, you want to talk about face masks in particular. Now, face masks have always been part of a medical area, whether it be in a care home or whether it be in a hospital or whatever it may be. But life has changed, I think, over the last 2 years. And how have you noticed it changing from your perspective?
Okay, so the origins of Ultrafilter worldwide, we are a filtration company to deal with industrial liquid and gas filtration requirements. But during the start of the pandemic, we saw the opportunity that with over 30 years of experience of filtration, could we utilize this and develop our own type 2R face mask? And from there, we've put manufacturing lines into the premises in Ross-on-Wye to support approximately 1.5 to 2 million masks a day, as well as the capabilities and the capacity in the German factory. The decision was made to take manufactured type 2R face masks, being 3-ply construction, that prevent the large particles from reaching the patient or working surfaces, and that we've utilized our experiences with high-grade filtration media, which we would use in industrial pharmaceutical applications.
And as far as you're concerned, I suppose it's pretty much almost exactly 2 years ago from now that the pandemic took a hold. There was all that panic over PPE at the time. What was it like for you back then? Were you beginning suddenly to get your phone ringing off the hook?
It was a very busy, challenging time in the right way. And a lot of processes had to be changed. We had to design and build some new machines to manufacture the 3-ply type 2R face masks and adapt current production methods, which resulted in the UK and Germany factory productions working quite closely to get the right machines in place at a very quick turnaround.
And as far as the masks themselves go, you talk about the way they've now been designed. Were care homes just after any old masks at the time, or did you find that there was an acceptance that things had to change and a much more robust sort of mask had to be developed?
I think that there's always been a requirement for a mask in certain environments, but as the pandemic became into people's lives, it was becoming apparent that any old mask wouldn't do. So type 2R face mask was typically used in the surgical environment, but it's got the highest filtration media and the retention facilities. So that's really why I think care homes have gone to more surgical masks in as a day-to-day requirement.
And 2 years on, what is the state of play now? Is it a bit more relaxed, or is your phone still very, very busy?
No, we are still busy with servicing NHS accounts and also other medical accounts. So, but obviously, we've made the investment here, significant investment of around about £6 million across the group to put the machinery and raw materials. So we are keen to support the UK and European markets with bringing into the market a UK and German manufactured mask.
That's interesting. If I just widen this out then to Christian, because in your field, Christian, you're dealing in hospital grade air purification. How has the development of masks had an effect on what you do?
Well, what we always do with whether we deal with hospitals or any other clients, it's about looking at a holistic risk mitigation strategy. And therefore, masks combined with improved insulation is always important. If we look at how COVID-19 is transmitted, you know, you can typically break it down into three broad categories. You have fomite transmission, so surface transmission. You have, you know, the large droplets and the small droplets, the aerosols. And looking at the fomites, you know, we know with SARS-CoV-2 now and stated by the WHO that there's very, very low chance of catching COVID off the surface, which really means it's the large and the small droplets we need to focus on. And for people that are close together and in confined spaces, masks is a very effective way of stopping these large droplets and therefore, you know, definitely an important risk mitigation tool. But obviously the challenge is when you are using basically lower grade masks that obviously they don't catch aerosols and they still move into the air. And that's also why, as part of the risk mitigation strategy, improved ventilation is now what you need to look at. So no, it's again about looking at a holistic solution and they do indeed complement each other.
And Debbie, from your perspective in dealing with laundry in general, has the influx and increase of usage of masks, has that had any effect on your business?
To be honest, the masks, most of the disposable masks that people are using, so from laundry side, I think it's more about protecting your staff to make sure they're wearing the protective clothing when they're in the laundry. They're handling foul and infected laundry that's picked up from the care home and taken into that area. So it's about training staff more than anything else, to be honest.
And do you think before the pandemic, did you find that people weren't being that careful with masks in a laundry situation?
Some laundries, yes, some laundries not. I don't think everybody had it as part of their procedure and their process. I think care homes, to be fair, have always dealt with different viruses that have been in the air. So MRSA, C. diff, norovirus. They're used to dealing with infections and how to control that. It's just, again, training staff and retraining staff.
Yes, and I would imagine with the influx of staff, with staff coming, staff going, that's got to be an ongoing process, hasn't it?
Most definitely. I think that's one of the biggest things that we found during the pandemic was that obviously staff were off sick. So there was temporary staff in the laundry, perhaps a little bit unsure as to which programs they should be using, what the machine was capable of doing and the functions of the machine. So it's very important to go back out and to retrain that staff. And I think that's where technology can help, to be honest.
And dealing with staff as well for Paul, I should imagine the influx of masks suddenly gave you some interesting problems as the pandemic took over.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't. I mean, listening to others, we don't really get involved in reusable masks, as in paper masks. But quite rightly, as Debbie has said, we had to protect our staff 110%. I've got 50 engineers out on the road working in frontline care. Hospitality was closed. Frontline care was totally key. Everybody was scared. I invested thousands of pounds on PPE overnight as best as I could. And we dealt with it as best we could. We didn't know anything about it. We had to deal with it. But masks are super important. Make sure you get the right mask. You know, I'm not an expert like others, but we invested in the best we could.
And when you had to look around that quickly for PPE in the early days, did you find in the end you were able to get what you were looking for, or did you have to simply take what you could get? Any thoughts on that, Paul?
There's an element that we could almost get what you were looking for, but it came at an extremely high price all of a sudden within a month. I mean, because it was supply and demand.
Yes.
You know, if you walked around London, people were selling bottles of, sterilizing gel for like 10 quid. It was ridiculous. It was like a, supply only basis. No, we got what we wanted. The hardest thing we had was some other items like screens, etc. But in terms of protecting our staff, more importantly from working in the care sector, which clearly we need to focus on here, that was relatively easy to come by. You know, I think if I remember right now, it seems so long ago, N95 masks, was it? And the gloves that went with it as well. And sterilizing fluid that I've got liters of it still, you know. We had the softest hands in the industry, for sure.
I can well imagine. And Kevin, from your point of view, were people pulling your masks to pieces? But how much criticism and how much did you have to prove to people that your masks weren't just something you could buy perhaps off the counter in Boots or anything like that?
Well, obviously, it was a case of people were wanting high-quality masks and at a competitive price. So there's lots of masks which were coming in from Asia, but the quality isn't there. They might be type 2R, but they didn't have the certification, or the certification wasn't what it said it was. So we have all of that in place. So we can offer a high quality UK manufactured product with the highest quality of filtration media. And some of the reports we've had is different masks feel different on your face. They might rub, cause an irritation, and that's because of the poor quality of the filtration media used, whereas the Ultra Mask by Ultra Filter is using the higher end of the raw materials. So there is a case there, especially in an environment where it's not a reusable product. They wear it for 4 hours and have to replace it or less. They want something which is comfortable and reliable, and they can still function and work and carry out the job accordingly.
And do you find from your experience that people are using it as you show them how to, or do those 4 hour rules sometimes get bent a little bit, or do people keep using it more than on one occasion?
I think some people do. Yeah, I think so. But from what we're seeing in good practice within the NHS environment, it is very much a use and throw away and get another one. And it's the same as in the care home environment as well.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm sure the use of masks in care homes, which wasn't always there 2 years ago, is very much more there now and will probably stay that way, I would imagine. Okay, let's move on then. Let's go on to Christian's subject, because Christian, you deal in hospital-grade air purification. Now, as far as care homes are concerned, you used to be able to walk into a care home 2 years ago and find it probably a bit musty, in the worst of all cases, perhaps a bit smelly as well. What have you noticed over the last 2 years as far as your product is concerned?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And to be fair, I think, you know, with the care home industry in general, we see that a lot of care homes and nursing homes are in typically older buildings that don't have mechanical ventilation systems. And in a pre-pandemic world, obviously, you know, that's just been accepted. But it is interesting that when we look to, you know, hospitals, for instance, you see that there are very strict guidelines, you know, within the NHS for, you know, how many air changes per hour should you have if you're in a general ward, if you're an ICU unit or otherwise, whereas in the care home sector, generally, there aren't any guidelines. So what the past 2 years, what we've seen is that the industry is sort of waking up to the fact that, you know, now with COVID being an airborne transmitted disease, that there is a need for better ventilation, but often it's not easy to just upgrade ventilation in a building. We've seen, you know, the government advice on keeping windows open, but obviously going through a British winter, it is difficult keeping windows open throughout, especially with older residents. So therefore, the need and sort of the solution she really have is sort of installing high quality and sort of, you know, properly functioning portable air purifiers can be a very effective way of locally improving ventilation. And often what we found and what we see is, you know, we don't go for installing solutions throughout an entire building. It's really about focusing on the areas where there's a high density of people, so common areas and sort of the general areas with high occupancy, not the individual rooms, which actually also means that, you know, solutions can be installed that are very cost effective. And we've, you know, heard great stories, you know, case studies with the, you know, some of our clients that talk about how it means that the residents feel safer and are comfortable coming out back out being social again. It means that the staff feel more comfortable. And it also means, you know, you mentioned odors. You know, solutions like ours are effective to that effect as well. So no, we've definitely seen the increased interest, and that, you know, there are a number of benefits from improving ventilation.
And as far as care home owners are concerned, one of their big worries, of course, is always finance. Are they sort of looking to you to provide a cost effective deal? Let's put it that way, or are they sometimes put off by what might get involved?
No, of course, you can say that the challenge with portable air purifiers and the air purification spaces in general is it's an unregulated space. And that means that, you know, if you put a fan and a filter together, you can call it an air purifier. But obviously, as with anything, you kind of get what you pay for. But what's important is, and what we always do with our clients, is we try to model up a solution for them that is specific to their rooms. So we don't just say, you know, buy an air purifier and then you have a solution. We typically look at floor plans. We look at, you know, what are the occupancy levels in each individual rooms? And is there any, you know, existing ventilation? Is there access to windows or otherwise? And then on that basis, we can come up with a solution that often is a lot cheaper than what people actually think it would cost to implement a proper solution that is then sort of fully in line with the latest WHO or UK government guidelines for how much air do you need per person in a room in order to mitigate the risk of airborne disease transmission. But that's obviously also important in just the context, you know, the other factors mentioned before.
And as far as a care home is concerned, is there much maintenance involved, or is it just simply a question of switching it on?
No, it is you know, fairly simple. These are devices you can take out the box and switch on. They are low maintenance. You only need to do maintenance on the device after 9,000 hours of operating time, which is just over a year of continuous operating time. But again, you know, if you are using them in common rooms, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, well, then it's really only every 2 years. But what's also important is, again, you know, in the context of keeping windows opening, for instance, we've seen that a lot with a lot of clients we've talked to, both in the care home sector and otherwise, that if you are opening windows during a winter, well, then you also crank up the heat at the same time, meaning that a lot of the facilities are spending significantly more on energy at the moment that they otherwise would be. And obviously, the increased energy costs certainly aren't helping. So that's also why we're working with clients and figuring out, well, actually, if they could close the windows and spend less money on sort of energy in general, obviously that also helps pay back the investment they're making into upgrading their ventilation.
And Debbie, I would imagine from your point of view, in a laundry setting, has this now taken on a degree of importance that you're finding from clients?
Most definitely. Certainly with utility costs rising, and we're all aware that that's happening. So, you know, looking at innovation and ways machines can work smarter. Machines that measure a load that say, you know, there's only half a load in this washing machine, so you need to put less water in, less detergent in, and then smarter drying cycles that actually stop when the clothes are dry, so you're not over drying and wasting energy. Certainly, you know, it's something that most care homes are thinking about and looking to improve on.
And when Christian talks about using them in communal areas like lounges, like in dining rooms, that kind of thing, would you anticipate them using it in a laundry setting as well? Because you've got more than one worker at a time, I would imagine, dealing with quite a lot of heavy lifting of materials to be putting into washing machines.
Yeah, most definitely. Manual handling is obviously something you think about. And things that come into the laundry that are foul and infected should be in a red alginate bag. So in the bag, the staff then remove the bag. They've got gloves on, masks on, remove the bag, put it into the washing machine in the bag, and then the bag dissolves in the cold water. So it effectively sluices through and then washes in a thermal disinfection temperature. But you're right, the air in the laundry is very important. You know, at the moment, they're saying open the windows. But again, that's one of the things that you wouldn't want to really do because, you know, you're losing energy going opening the window. So certainly, I think, you know, that would be useful, any air filtration system.
And Paul, I would imagine in your case, when you're the sort of things that you're dealing with and what has to be kept squeaky clean, you would expect to see some sort of air purification in the areas that you supply, I would imagine.
It's an interesting topic. I mean, we do ask for air changes within a dishwashing room, no different to Debbie, I suppose, because any machine that uses heat, time, temperature, agitation, you're going to get moisture. And you need to control. It's not just the air out, it's the air coming in. So the same principle applies, maybe not quite to the same extent of Christian's in terms of filtration, but nonetheless, the environment has to be in a proper sound condition.
You don't have to give any names or addresses, but are you having to say things to certain care home owners to bring that message home?
Well, we always guide them as best we can. I mean, ultimately, you know, the human factor is always there. It's the client's wish, what they choose to take on board, what they choose not to. We like to give them sound, proper focused advice on what we have. And I'd like to say that all the time, I would say, when we give it, they take it on board and they implement it. But that also comes with training. You can't just supply a piece of equipment. You have to follow it through with training. Stories tell, pictures sell, put laminates on the wall, make it simple. And if we do that, you provide a really good solution and you've got a really good partnership with the client that just grows. And they're safe. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's very good to hear. Kevin, in your respect, you're dealing with masks rather than air purification systems. Do you find sometimes care home owners might say to you, we'll take the mask because we can't afford the air purification, or the other way around even, that we don't need the mask anymore. We've got a tremendous air purification system set up.
I think they still need them. They still take the mask first because of its visual and it's showing people that they are wearing masks and they're providing a safe environment. But really, masks and air purification really go hand in hand because you're controlling what somebody might be carrying and what is airborne as well. So masks as well as the airborne purification systems should be the way forward.
And Christian, slightly shudder to ask you what business is like at the moment, but now that the worst of the pandemic appears to be open, that care homes are open again to accept visitors, that kind of thing, what is the state of the market looking like for you?
We're still extremely busy, and as I said, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, over the past 2 years, we've sold to 30 odd countries, and we see, you know, the care home sector is actually in the US. The care home sector has been the most important so far. We actually kind of noticed an uptick in activity here in the UK recently. It seems like now people are sort of ready to really evaluate these solutions. Where I think, you know, there has been a big emphasis on masks so far, but now, you know, I fully agree, you know, the solutions complement each other and people are now looking more to say, okay, how do we implement a long-term solution we can live with? Because obviously there are also other benefits of improved air quality. It's not just related to, you know, COVID transmission, but there are a lot of other airborne transmitted diseases, and then also just general quality of living if you have improved air quality.
Good. Well, that's interesting to see how that will develop in the years ahead, when hopefully that the pandemic will be well and truly behind us, and that care homes take on the same sort of feel in many ways as a hospital setting might have in terms of the quality of air within the building. Because I often feel that's something that's been overlooked in years gone by. We'll find out a bit more about that in due course, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, and we see that as well. You know, there are a lot of articles being written about how now, you know, we've had three large healthcare revolutions. We focused on sanitation, we focused on food and outside air, but indoor air is still sort of the frontier we haven't really explored, but the pandemic has clearly highlighted why that's important to focus on as well.
You're listening to the Care Home Management Magazine podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Smooth Digital. My name is Toby Ellie-Osman. I'm the founder of Smooth Digital, the UK's leading care sector marketing agency. We support care home operators with their marketing so they can reach more self-paying families searching for care and fill their beds. We work with providers to create and implement a robust digital marketing strategy to modernize their marketing, increase inbound leads, build back their occupancy, and future-proof their business. Head over to Google and type in Smooth Digital to book a free discovery call and find out if there's any way we can help you.
Okay, let's move on to your subject, Debbie, and using technology in laundry to manage infection control. Laundry has changed an awful lot over the years. Some big players now provide some big machines for care homes. How is the way forward going, managing infection control? Because it's not simply a question of taking some sheets, taking some clothing and just bunging them in a laundry and hoping it all comes out gleaming white, is it?
No, I think one of the things that obviously the pandemic has taught us that, you know, over the past 18 months is that we can manage it, we can wash, we have a system that thermally disinfects or chemically that disinfects. But how do we know or how do we audit trail what's happening in the laundry? So innovation now has brought along, obviously, with the cloud and IoT, the chance to connect your washing machine and your laundry equipment to the cloud to give you that visibility. And you can produce an audit trail on what your equipment is doing within your care home. So as a care home owner, if you've got more than one home, if you've got a selection of homes or you're a group, you can actually see what's happening in your laundry on a daily basis in live real time. So if you were to have an outbreak of norovirus in one of your homes, you could actually log into your laptop and say, right, in this care home now, for the rest of the day, they can only do thermal disinfection washes. And you could actually put that into practice, and then they couldn't shortcut anything with a quick wash cycle. So I think the owner now is more aware of what's going on in the laundry and also can look at costs through an IoT system and actually look what the laundry is doing at any one time. But it gives them that backup to know this is what's happening in the care home when they're not physically in there as well.
That's an interesting development then, this technology, which sometimes you see in electric toothbrushes where you can have a Bluetooth connection, which I've never quite understood what you're supposed to do with that. But in laundry, in a care home, I can see the obvious importance of keeping that information in the cloud that staff can quickly call upon to see what's been going on.
Most definitely. And also, I'm sure that other areas use it. Perhaps my code is something very similar. But also, it allows us to have a look at what's happening in these laundries. And if there is a fault, we get an email through to our head office to say there's an issue with this machine. And sometimes we're aware of issues with machines before the client's actually aware as well. So it gives us an understanding of what's happening with our customers, helps us respond quicker, and also keeps the customer, the downtime, limited.
Of course, you're dealing with a lot of different machines from different manufacturers, aren't you? Do they all talk to one another, or you've got to use different services for say, Miele or something different for Electrolux, whatever it may be?
Yeah, different systems for each manufacturer, to be fair, at the moment.
I'm sure you'd like them all to come together, wouldn't you?
It would be very nice. It would make life a lot simpler, to be honest, yes.
Yeah. And how about staff in the individual care homes themselves? Do they take to this easily, or do they look upon it as an extra burden on them?
To be fair, most of them are taken to it fairly quickly, fairly easily, because it's a bit like using an iPad. Most people are used to using an iPhone now, so it's pictogram, so it helps with the people that don't speak English as their first language. It's very simple technology. So literally you would log onto the machine, select the wash cycle, and it's all little icons of clothes and the degree wash next to it. If it's a thermal disinfection, it'll come up to say this is a hospital wash or this is a sluice wash. Select the icon and off it goes. So it's very, very simple in how it operates.
My worry in all that would be that it is so technical and so advanced these days, Is it a case that there's even more to go wrong and you've got to call the engineers out?
Not at all. And because we have the system where if there is a fault with the machine, something's stopped, you know, stuck in the drain valve, or there's an issue with the door lock, it notifies, like I say, it notifies us. So we're aware of the problem before we even get to site. And sometimes it can be a quick fix over the telephone. If there's a problem where, you know, two washing machines aren't working, they both come up as an alert, it's probably not the machines, it's probably the water supply or the drains that are blocked. So it does eliminate those needs for engineers to go out when actually, you know, site can deal with it, to be honest, as well.
So you can actually deal with whether the engineer needs to be there in a hurry simply from what you're reading back at HQ.
That's correct, yeah.
Very simple. How about you then, Paul? Does this, what Debbie's had to say, does this ring some bells with you as well?
Many bells are rung when I listen to Debbie. I mean, honestly, Debbie's process is washing, you know, maybe softer items, clothing, sheets, linen, and we're washing and cleaning the harder items. So, you know, since COVID dropped on our doors 2 years ago almost, it wasn't a case of, you know, are things clean? Are they actually clean? You know, you can eat off a plate and it can still have bacteria on it. And you would never know. You would never know. And you can sit, and when you go into a care home environment, that enhanced sensibility to people within that environment, you know, their immune systems could be a lot weaker than ours. Any slight bacteria that you and I may be able to put up with, that can create havoc and spread like crazy. So we have to look at various systems and we have to control systems. And it's all about time, temperature, chemical and agitation. And you try and get those four items going together in different manners and you achieve a contact time on the top of a product. And with thermal disinfection or chemo disinfection, chemical or temperature, you eradicate all the virus, you eradicate the bacteria and you've got a clean product. And that's what we do. And then we've tried to look outside the box and we clean additional items. How about things like clogs that, you know, nurses might wear? How about things like other pans? In the UK, and I don't like to say it, mostly the idea of waste, as in human waste, is transported away in a macerator. Cardboard, kidney-shaped bowl brings no pleasantness to your eyes knowing you've got to sit on that. And it's carried away on a tray. We clean the tray, okay? The tray has to be cleaned. It's a lot easier if you use a bedpan, if I'm honest with you, a reusable one. So we're pretty much similar, bang in line with Debbie, pretty much. It's all about, you know, AO disinfection or chemo or thermo. Got to do it right. Got to do it spot on every time.
And Christian, I wonder whether, from your point of view, with hospital-grade air purification systems, is this something that crops up when you're talking to people in care homes now as well?
Oh, absolutely. And also the point regarding IoT and quantifying and measuring issues as they arise. You know, we see that a lot with also live air quality monitoring. And therefore, you know, for instance, you could in a laundry room easily install a very cost-effective sensor that would tell you when there's a need for, you know, increasing the ventilation rate. Or you could even wheel in, you know, a device like ours and then improve the air quality when it's required. So now in terms of looking holistically at integrated solutions, air can also be monitored remotely, and that means that we can also help guide our clients to what are the areas where you see poor air quality and how do you address that. You know, I very much see the same point.
And then Debbie, with all this, the way that the actual machinery around what you deal with has developed over the years, is there much more it can do? Is there still areas that you feel that manufacturers could go further?
I think there's always areas for improvement. You know, things change. There's lots of things out there now in the marketplace that wasn't, you know, years ago. I think filtration of plastics, that's one area that, you know, manufacturers are now looking at to make sure all the microfiber plastics are taken out the drains before they go out into the ocean. So, yeah, there's all areas, not just, you know, for sustainability then that we need to look at and they need to address.
Because the whole issue of laundry in care homes has often been, or in days gone by, were considerable nightmares for some care home owners that infection can spread between in one resident to another. Are we well past those days now, do you feel?
I think, you know, a lot of the care homes now have, you know, got better equipment, better training. The staff, as long as you value your staff and you invest in that training, I'm sure everybody will agree with me that, you know, they're your biggest asset in any business. So they have to feel valued when they come into work. We did a Love Laundry Awards campaign last year, and the amount of care homes that came forward and selected and nominated their laundry staff for one, how hard they'd worked through the pandemic, how they'd gone the extra mile. how they protected residents and their clothing, and especially certain residents had, you know, a jumper or a cardigan that reminded them of their, you know, their relatives that they couldn't see. So those sort of things became personal. And people going the extra mile in the laundry made a hell of a difference. So, you know, as long as you value your staff, they understand the technology they've got, they understand the reason why they're doing the process they're doing, you make it simple for them, you make them feel valued, I think, you know, you'll get that. But from a manufacturer's point of view, there's always more they can do, yes.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops over the years. And I'm sure nothing stands still, and it certainly won't in the world of laundry either. Paul, coming on to you, and you mentioned how you deal with elements that Debbie did as well. Do you find now that care homes are fully taking on board? I can imagine hospitals would have fully taken on board what you had to offer, but were care homes a bit more blasé about it in times gone by?
No, not necessarily. I think care homes have always been very rigid. You have to be. It's a very heightened, sensitive area. Care homes are becoming more aware of it. I mean, you mentioned about, you know, is it still out there? Is it still spreading? It's still spreading. You're not never going to stop it spreading. It's how you react to it. So you've got to mitigate all those transfers. So hospitals have always been super acute on it because of the elements of open surgeries, wards, et cetera, maybe a little bit more open in terms of wounding. But care homes are super critical too. They're really listening. They're really picking up on it.
And as far as the equipment that you provide at MyCo, how has that developed over the last few years?
Hugely in terms of R&D. We're trying to, I mean, the IoT of things is on everybody's mind. I think it was either Debbie or Kevin that mentioned about, you know, connectivity. And everybody's looking for one platform. That's the key for the future. Everybody wants one platform. You know, you don't want 15 items that you have to click into and check each one. You want a building management system, one operator, one checkpoint, view everything. So we're focusing very closely on that. We're trying to use less water, less energy, less chemical down the drain. What chemical does go down the drain has got to be approved from a green point of view, and good ergonomics for the operator to use the machine. So we combine it all in one.
And how difficult when you get a designer at work and you tell him that you want all those elements put in, how difficult is it to achieve that? Because you'd have thought there must be some trade-offs along the way.
Well, it's very difficult for me to achieve it because they won't listen to me. The Germans in the R&D department will do what they do for the best for us. So I can't give you that answer, Alan. If I did, you'd be worth a lot of money. You know what? Our company I will say it anyway. It's a wonderful company to work for. It's a foundation status. All the money goes back into employees. We aim to better ourselves almost, and we continue to develop the products. If we have ideas, they will take them on board. And because of that, over the years, there's been some products that have come out because of staff's ideas. Great result.
What sort of ideas would they be then? Just sort of somebody, we could do this better one way or another?
Well, I think it's more, first and foremost, you've got to listen to the customer. It's not about what we want to achieve, it's what the customer needs. So, for example, we have something called reverse osmosis, which is like a super, super fine filter that will take out not just metal ions and chlorates from the water. It'll take out viruses too. So you get spot-free results. You don't need to polish glasses. Who wants to drink out of a dirty glass or a dirty plate? You know, mirror finish. Don't even need to buff the glass. But in hindsight, that was brilliant for the bars, but super brilliant for healthcare. And super brilliant for hospitals because it takes out the virus.
Even the one that we've been dealing with.
Our products will defeat Omicron and COVID.
That's reassuring to hear. How about with you, Kevin, with the products that you produce, how much did customer feedback play a part in how your masks have developed?
We took the basic principles of our filtration expertise from the industrial compressed air, liquid and gas filtration, and looked at the filter media and went to market with what we believe to be a leading design of face masks to make it more comfortable for the wearer, less irritable. And that's purely because of the effective filter media we're using. And that was taken to basically with research, but offering it to people and asking them to compare the two masks. Or different types of masks they would use in the NHS and care home setting.
Do you find that those who are taking up your masks, are they becoming choosier in what they want to go for?
Some people are. Obviously, it is a consumable product, so it's very much there's a box in reception or in an area, and you put the mask on. But the feedback we're having is over the competitors and from the from the Far East that the Ultra Mask is more, it's a comfier fit, less irritable. So we've seen cases where people have worn masks and ended up with a face rash, and they've only had it on for a couple of hours. So, and that's to do with the filter media being used, which is causing irritation. Whereas with the Ultra Mask, that's not happening.
And Christian, with your products that you do develop in terms of air purification, how much feedback do you get from people who use it on how you can further develop it?
We have very close dialogue with our customers. I think any successful company is very close to their customers and tries to take on as much feedback as possible. But for instance, we're in the process now of bringing a smaller device to market because we see in many instances, customers are looking to improve air quality even in small rooms and even in rooms where there's only, you know, one or two people present. Whereas, for instance, our main product we have right now is more built, you know, originally designed for use in larger hospital wards and therefore has a significantly larger air volume and air processing capacity. But that's obviously also suitable for you know, common rooms like we discussed before. But we definitely see it. And also, going back to the point around IoT, you know, it's the same thing. People want to have, you know, a single touch point through a building management system where they can control and see all their devices. And that's also why that's what we are working towards.
Okay, well, before we finish this subject and the whole podcast, I wonder if I could ask you all in turn to put your thinking caps on and wonder where we might be 5 years from now in the kind of products that you each have to deal with. Let me start with you, Debbie. 5 years from now, what's your industry going to look like?
Yeah, put me on the spot there. 5 years from now, I think everything will be connected by IoT. I think we'll probably move away from gas appliances in the care home sector onto heat pump source. That's the way it's going now. And I can see it being driven by utility costs and by energy bills, being driven that way.
How about you, Paul? How's your department going to change in 5 years from now?
Or honestly, I would hope more sustainable and more economical, even more economical than we are now.
And how about you then, Christian?
Well, it's we're seeing, you know, the focus on indoor air quality is growing, and you know there's been a large focus on outdoor air quality, but we do spend the majority of our time indoors, and that's why, you know, we're seeing that getting much more emphasis. So we also firmly believe that it will be much more common to see portable air purifiers in many spaces, because doing central upgrades, especially to older buildings, is difficult. It's much easier to improve that using portable and flexible devices like ours.
That's interesting. And finally, Kevin, well, the mask has come a long way over the last year or two. How much further can it go?
Obviously, we can increase efficiency with the improvement of the raw materials, but I do think the wearing of a face mask in certain environments, in the care home environments, in the hospital settings, is going to become a routine mandatory item. So the moment you walk into a care home as a visitor or a guest, a mask will expect to be worn, same as the NHS settings. So I think it's going to be, the mask wearing will be with us for more than 5 years. I think it will be the new normal.
And that's all we have time for today. My thanks to Paul Anderson, Managing Director at Myco, to Kevin Morris, who's the UK Managing Director at Ultrafilter, to Christian Hendrickson, the co-founder and CRO of Rensair, and Debbie Jones, Sales Manager at Washco. Thank you to you all for taking part. You've been listening to the Care Home Management Magazine podcast on infection control, sponsored by Smooth Digital. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. We have more podcasts lined up for you in the weeks ahead. So stay safe for now, and we'll see you again soon.